digging in the dirt. I'm digging in the dirt.
This is Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher, where Kevin and his guests dig a little deeper into today's issues surrounding the environment, farming, gardening, and food.
And I'm so pleased to welcome my next guest here to Digging in the Dirt. He is one Ronnie Cummins. Ronnie Cummins is a co-founder and international director of the Organic Consumers Association, the OCA, and it has a Mexican affiliate called Via Organica. The Organic Consumers Association is a nonprofit U.S.-based network of 2 million consumers dedicated to safeguarding organic standards and promoting a healthy, just, and sustainable system of agriculture and commerce. The OCA's primary strategy is to work on national and global campaigns promoting health, justice, and sustainability that integrate public education, marketplace pressures, media work, litigation, and grassroots lobbying. To say the least, the OCA and Ronnie are on the front lines of the fight for our rights on many of the issues that listeners to Digging in the Dirt hold near and dear. Welcome, Ronnie Cummins.
Good to be with you.
I'm happy to have you with me. Wow, where do we start here under the Trump regime? Give us a sort of state of the affairs of the what's going on in the United States and regarding the things that interest you and the OCA.
Well, in terms of food and farming and fair trade issues, we were pretty disappointed with what we saw in the Clinton, Bush, and Obama administrations. And so far with Trump, it's even worse. So what we understand as a consumer organization is that we're not going to see much policy change or good policy change in the next 3 or 4 years for sure. So we need to fall back on the tactics and the strategy that we know works, which is that we are changing America's food and farming system through consumer awareness, consumer action, things like lawsuits and boycotts and pressuring companies. So that's what we intend to focus on and, in fact, step up the attack.
I noticed that you've got something called Resist and Regenerate, the Resist and Regenerate movement. Can you give us an idea what that's all about?
Yeah, the idea is that a lot of the food and farming activism has been online, like a lot of the activism over the last decade or so. But I think it's time to get back to not only online activism, but action in our local communities, action around marketplace pressure, but also political action, because as we're seeing, like, for example, with the DARC Act, the whole food movement pushed really hard for 5 years or so to get mandatory labeling on genetically engineered food. We were starting to get mandatory labeling at the state level in states like Vermont and Connecticut and Maine. But then the Congress, listened to their big supporters in the big food, big ag sector, and they basically passed a law doing away with a 100-year tradition of allowing states to decide issues of food labeling. So they took away our right to label genetically engineered foods, and so they leave us no choice but to basically say that once these QR codes come out, which is what Big Food calls labeling, but it's really a way to not label genetically engineered foods. So once these QR codes, type of square barcode, starts appearing on products, what we're going to recommend to consumers is just boycott that, because that means it's got GMOs in it, but the company's trying to mislead you or make it difficult for you to find out. So we're going to have to get around public policy, at least at the federal level, by going straight into direct action, on all counts. OCA has sued about six companies since the start of the year for fraudulent labeling, calling things natural when they're not, calling things natural when they're contain Roundup, Monsanto's herbicide, calling eggs, for example, free range when they're not, you know, and basically the whole gamut of this so-called natural food, because, you know, the so-called natural food sector is just as big as the organic sector. The difference is that it's basically a fraud. There's no federal rules or state rules governing the use of the term natural, all natural, 100% natural. And consumers are confused by these labels or this type of advertising. So they're, you know, they look at an organic product and, well, there's something right next to it that says all natural and it's a lot cheaper. So they often go for the cheaper product.
Yeah,
but it turns out that all natural means next to nothing. And so in the court of law, we're able to sue these companies and get them to stop making these false labeling or advertising claims. So that's one tool we're using. We're going to have a big lawsuit this week. I can't talk about who it's going to be against, but it's one of the largest food companies in the United States.
So let's talk about some of the ones we can, because they're on your website. How about besides the myth of natural foods, what about this Handsome Brooks pastured raised eggs? Let's mention briefly, talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it raised eyebrows because people pointed out to us, well, you know, all their eggs are not pasture raised at all. You know, I mean, certain percentage of them are organic, but the other ones aren't. And so they were misleading consumers. So we took them to court and they thought they could get it thrown out, but they have not been able to. And so we'll be announcing a settlement down the road, but I guarantee you the settlement is not going to allow them to continue to call stuff pasture raised when it's not. And, you know, we sued General Mills is Health Valley, General Mills for their Health Valley product, which is it's a sort of grade B granola bar that you see in gas stations and supermarkets. And, you know, it was filled with Roundup residues. So we've taken them to court over that. We've taken SiouxB, SiouxB Honey, largest honey distributor in the country, to court because we, tested their honey and found that it had, again, Roundup or glyphosate residues in it. And we're just going to keep on going. We're not satisfied when companies like Ben and Jerry's claim on their website that they're all natural, that they use natural ingredients, that they're GMO-free, and then you look at their supply chain and all the farmers who supply their milk are growing GMO corn and feeding it to their cows. And it doesn't mean the cow is genetically engineered, but their diet is GMO. When you look at the nasty herbicides that are being sprayed, because it's a matter of public record in Vermont, on the corn and other grains fed to the cows, you start to realize, well, this is a joke. There is no such thing as organic as natural, unless it's organic or unless it's at least in transition to organic. So if we want to make organic a $100 billion a segment of the food industry by the time Trump's first term is over, instead of just, you know, $75 billion, which is the way it's growing now, we need these companies, these fake natural companies, fake grass-fed companies to do the right thing. And they don't seem to listen to anything except litigation and pressure from consumers and protests out in front of their stores or stores that sell their products.
Yeah, we talk here at Digging the Dirt that, you know, your consumer has to vote with their dollars for sure. I mean, I'm listening to you, Ronnie, and it seems a bit overwhelming. I mean, I'm pretty well versed on all this stuff, and so is our audience, but it gets kind of a little overwhelming that, you know, you're being, it's the watering down of the organic, you know, list of what's organic, and also the, like you said, all natural. I mean, after a while, it becomes like a little bit overwhelming on how you deal with this. What do you recommend to the average person about how to educate themselves and how to deal with it when they're out there trying to buy stuff?
Well, in general, the organic seal is still trustworthy. If something says USDA organic on the front of it, you know it's organic. There's a couple of areas that are problematic. One of them is milk. If you see organic milk that is a lot cheaper than other organic milk, if you're shopping in a supermarket like Costco or Walmart or something, it's because this Aurora Organic, which was exposed in the Washington Post a few weeks ago, it's just a factory farm calling their milk organic, and they feed organic grain to the cows, but in no way is this a real organic dairy. The other sector that's real problematic in organic is eggs. Most of the eggs labeled organic are this would be the private label brands, typically in stores like Whole Foods or a supermarket. They're coming from these CAFO type egg producers, where the chickens have little or no access to the outdoors and are organic in name only. So, but the overwhelming majority of organic dairies and the overwhelming majority of organic egg producers are doing things right. So we just need to keep hammering away at these, these organic, but realizing that overall you can trust the organic label. Now, the natural label, or all natural, or 100% natural, some of them use, you know, I'm yet to see a product that bears those descriptions that actually meets consumer expectations of what we actually think natural means. So when I see natural, if there's not a organic seal on that, or these new seals transition to organic, I stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And at consumers. And when you're buying locally, of course, if you have an option to get products that are local and organic or regional and organic, that's the best way to do it. Go straight to the farmer, go straight to the producer, and you can get straight answers. You can visit their farms in many cases. So we think that organic and local is really the gold standard. But if you're shopping in a retail store, a co-op, independent natural food store, or a chain, or a supermarket, look for the organic seal.
Well, we're talking to Ronnie Cummins of the Organic Consumers Association, filling us in on a lot of things that are kind of disturbing, and also how to deal with it also. And remember, folks, we're WPKN. We are in the midst of a listener-supported fundraising period, and programming like this needs your support as well as the music. So if you enjoy and get good information from programming like Digging in the Dirt, you should call 203-384-9756 and see if you can't help us out here, so that we can continue to bring people like Ronnie Cummins on to help you figure out this mess they call food buying experience. I say that because I'm a new grandfather, and my grandson is being fed the Honest Company's products, you know, not the infant formula that I see you have a lawsuit on. But, I mean, that's kind of disturbing when, you know, my daughter is trying to do the right thing. She's running out there trying to figure out what to give a growing baby, where in the formative years it's really important to keep the chemicals away from them. And then you find out that the product is not what they say it is. I mean, this is really not a good thing.
Yeah, there's more. There's that enormous fraud using the, you know, the algae to raise the levels of omega-3 in the Horizon milk that was exposed in the Washington Post. And we've done the same thing with infant formula. And, you know, I mean, basically everyone knows that breastfeeding is the way to go if you can do it. But the way the job situation is set up in the United States, it's very difficult, if not impossible. So that's why we're trying to push organic formula companies, which are typically definitely better than non-organic formula companies, to do it right and not cut corners. I mean, if you use milk that where the animals have been grazed 100% on grass, you're going to have those high omega-3 levels that are so important. But if you cut corners and you bring in milk powder from who knows where, China, New Zealand, in order to make more profit, you have to be reprimanded and pressured by the grassroots, and that's what we're doing.
You know, Ronnie, if it seems to me that we're under this climate now. We have an administration that's much more pro-business and much more, regulation has fallen into disfavor under them. With the organic label and everything, how do we know that it's not being watered down? I mean, I noticed that some of the things that you address are the fact that these regulations, the definitions of products are being changed so that they can use them in organic products and still call them organic. How do we know that this is not going on?
Well, typically the violations come to light, and the problem is forcing the National Organic Program of the USDA to take action. But, you know, we've got a huge marketplace now. It's a $50 billion industry. We've got thousands and thousands of producers who don't take lightly to fraud that's undermining their situation. Like this situation recently, that the Washington Post did a good job exposing, this thing about there's a tremendous demand now for organic corn and soybeans because there's a tremendous surge in growth in organic dairy and organic poultry, organic pork. And so you need these animal feeds. And so they've been bringing in enormous amounts through these brokers in Turkey, and the grain originates in places like Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Romania. And so organic farmers in the U.S., grain farmers, have been pointing this out for a number of years, that like, hey, our situation is being undermined by these cheap imports, and this stuff is not even organic. And, you know, the government did little or nothing to stop this. But as soon as consumer concern reached a certain point, I mean, we worked with the Washington Post article, Washington Post journalist to break that story over time, as did Cornucopia and some of the other public interest groups. And, you know, finally it did come out. So then the Organic Trade Association and even the USDA National Organic Program are coming up. They took away the license of that Turkish broker that had brought in so much fake grain, and they say they're on top of it. So we have to raise hell, and farmers, consumers, product manufacturers, and if we raise enough hell, we can get things changed. But the bottom line is that we should be looking for products, organic products and 100% grass-fed meats and pastured meats that are produced in the USA. There's no reason why we should be importing. We're importing right now 75 to 80% of all the grass-fed beef in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not because we couldn't be producing it here. It's because the big buyers have it that way. They like to play off ranchers in Australia against ranchers in the United States and so on. So I will avoid organic brands that are importing their ingredients from overseas, if I can.
If you can figure it out.
And so you got to know the brand. You got to look into it a little bit, ask your retailer, and so on.
Sounds difficult.
Because they took away our right, you know, Congress, among other horrible things they've done in the last few years, they took away the country of origin labeling, which we had fought so hard to get. You used to be able to know with meat products where it came from. But there was a WTO, World Trade Organization, challenge against the U.S., and you know, instead of fighting it to the end, basically U.S. caved in and Congress went along with that. So you got to know, it'll say on the package of meat where it's from. You need to be buying USA as well as grass-fed and USA as well as organic if you can at all. Otherwise, there are some good brands that are bringing in organic products from overseas. You get to know them after a time. Del Cabo, for example, for organic tomatoes from Mexico. But in general, we need to push for local and regional production of organic and grass-fed foods, and we need to support those producers and the retailers who sell them, you know, with our pocketbook as well as with our, you know, the messages that we deliver to our friends and family.
Right. And once again, we come back to vote with your dollars. We're talking to Ronnie Cummins of the Organic Consumers Association. He's the co-founder and international director of the organization. You know, Ronnie, we have run out of time, so I want to get to two other points. Why do you think, this is a little bit of a change, I think you can give me some insight on this. Why do you think that anything pro-environmental, organic, sustainable, and pro-Mother Earth is portrayed as some leftist agenda? And some kind of conspiracy and not the right thing to do, where Republican means that you can't support climate change initiatives, you can't support any kind of regulations. You know, there's a demonizing that goes on all the time in regards to pro-environment and pro-clean organic food. And why is that? What's going on here? Is it are they really working hard behind the scenes to get that message out in the media?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was fine when it was just a few granola-eating hippies that constituted the alternative food and farming movement. But now we've gotten to be a powerful force in the marketplace. Most people say they understand, when you ask them in polls, that organic food is superior to conventional or chemical food. They know that. They're not buying it regularly or all the time, often because they don't have enough money to afford to know the difference. And we have a $50 billion industry now that is, for example, 15% of all the fresh produce in the country, fruits and vegetables, is now organic. So the big guys realized a number of years ago that we were not just a tiny niche market, a little bit of a nuisance. We're a serious threat. McDonald's and the rest of them are looking at falling profits and realizing that their factory farm GMO system of sourcing food and, you know, laying out what seems to be tasty but non-nutritious and unhealthy food is not working. So they're not ready to change yet. So one of their tactics is demonize us as they do. It's the same thing with all renewable energy, you know. We can now produce 10% of our energy needs in this country with renewable energy, very similar to what we are doing in the food sector. But there's ferocious attempts on the part of the fossil fuel industry to undermine that. But the bottom line is that the public wants clean energy. The public wants a stable climate. The public wants healthy food and decent social standards and policies. And if we organize hard enough, we can overcome the power of the big corporations.
Cool. I hope so. I hope you're right. I have a really kind of off the wall question for you. I wanted to ask you about Scott Pruitt. I mean, can you explain how this nasty man is like such a hater of the natural world? I mean, I've never seen a guy more radically anti-environmentalist. I mean, did somebody take him camping and tie him to a tree or something? And he hates, you know, being outdoors. I mean, can you explain this man to me? Anything he can do to subvert the good stuff of Mother Earth and organic and alternative energy, he seems to go and do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I grew up in Southeast Texas, so I'm quite familiar with the power of the oil companies and the chemical companies and what influence they have over the mass media and politics. And Pruitt is he's an Oklahoma guy, and he's in the pockets of the oil industry and the fracking industry, and he's been paid to do their bidding his whole political life. And so Trump decided that, Trump's just going for the money as well. And so if you're going to have someone head up the EPA, you might as well get someone who wants to destroy the EPA. And this is the whole, we've seen a complete corporate takeover of the federal government at this point. In terms of the executive branch and the regulatory agencies. So all we can do is use lawsuits and delaying tactics, try to reduce the amount of damage that the Trump administration does over the next 3 years while we work across the board with all the issues to throw these people out of office. And then realizing that we've got to they're coming after us at the state government level and now at the local level, big corporate America. And so we've got 513,000 elected public officials in this country. We got 39,000 towns and cities, 3,200 counties. We got to get organized at the grassroots in every one of these localities and basically throw the bums out and put in a brand new government. That's the only way we're going to be able to safeguard our well-being and prevent society from spiraling out of control into climate catastrophe and, endless war and, frankly, a fascist system. I mean, the definition of fascism is, when you have a merger of big corporations and state power. And I think we are already at that point. With the Trump administration.
It's pretty wild. That gets us to our last question. I always ask my guests this question. Are you optimistic? Are we headed off to some cliff in the future, or will we get it together and really make some major changes to become more sustainable and have a better system?
Well, I'm optimistic, partly because OCIA, Organic Consumer Association, we work on the international level as well, and I spend a good part of my time outside the country. And I must say, south of the border in Mexico, we've got a Bernie Sanders-type leader, Lopez Obrador, who's leading in the polls to win the presidency in 2018. We've got more organizing going on in Mexico than I've ever seen in decades. And we saw Corbyn over in the UK upset the status quo recently as the Labour Party turns back toward their radical roots. And, the guy in Mélenchon in France, he came in third, but he's more radical than Bernie Sanders, and he nearly made it into the runoff for the presidency. So it's going both ways, but what you can see for sure is that the global grassroots, whether these are the everyday people and China or Russia or Iran or wherever, Mexico, the U.S., are not satisfied with the governments. That's what we've all got in common. So this is going to be a global revolution that's percolating because there is no other alternative.
Well, thank you for that. We've been speaking to Ronnie Cummins of the Organic Consumers Association. He's the international director of the organization. And I thank you for coming on and filling us in on what's going on and you deal with so heavily. And it just involves all the stuff that we do in our lives. So I really appreciate
Great.
You coming
thank
on.
Thank you, Kevin. And the alternative media is a key part of change, and I hope everyone will support your efforts here.
And if they Thank want you. To, the number is 203-384-9756. We're waiting at the phones. You can call to support Digging in the Dirt and all the other spoken word programming here. And don't forget, you can hear this program again on SoundCloud and on iTunes podcasts. And once again, I thank Ronnie for coming on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Digging in the dirt.
You've been listening to Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher.